This morning we're looking at the last of the fruit of the Spirit. It's been a joy to have shared the nine fruit of the Spirit the last few weeks, and the preparation of them, and how God has led in these series of messages on the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know how many of these you've been working on through these weeks on the fruit of the Spirit. Probably the one we need to work on the most is this one today, self-control. And this is the second part of self-control. Last week we looked at the fruit of self-control and then the marks of self-control. And today we're going to be looking at the areas where self-control should be expressed in our life or utilized in a way that it will help us to grow spiritually. So let's look at the two verses we've been reading over the last couple weeks, which are Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. Verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." And when I think about self-control, I think it is a great quality which comes to mankind when Christ is in our heart. That quality that makes us able to live and to walk in this world. And yet to keep our garments unspotted from this world. And that's a task, isn't it? That's not an easy road for the Christian to have that kind of self-control in order to keep all of these fruit of the Spirit, from love all the way down to self-control, intact and unspotted from the world. So when we surrender, I believe, to the Holy Spirit, initially we feel as though we have lost control, but we need to lose control of our own life and let God take control. Which leads us to the exercise of self-control that would be impossible if we tried to do those on our own. We have to have the aid of the Holy Spirit governing the steps that we take in this life to fulfill and to carry out the role of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, let's look at areas where self-control should be expressed in our life or utilized or carried out. So when you think about self-control, it should be evident on all areas of our life, self-control. And I want to share four things or four areas for us to consider and work on in our lives, in order that we will have self-control in our life. And that's something we got to work on daily. It's not something that comes naturally. You have to put forth an effort. Anything that we do in life that's worthwhile, or anything you do, you have to put forth an effort. And spiritually, the effort that we put forth in the fruit of the Spirit, and as we were looking at the message on self-control, we have to put forth a great effort in order to succeed in it. Now, one of those areas or marks of self-control, and it affects our lives, is in our bodies. And sometimes we don't want to think about our bodies, do we? We know that our bodies are fleshly, and we do need control in that area. And Paul gives us some insights from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, what he did to enhance control, allow the Holy Spirit to control him in his efforts in the fruit of the Spirit. So Paul said that he would do what he would do to make his body his slave, that he would not be mastered by his body in verse 27. Now let's look at that verse and see what Paul is really expressing or utilizing and leading us in the church at Corinth to understand the importance of self-control. And that's when he says, "But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Boy, that's an awesome task. As Paul took on as God used him and equipped him and gave him the power from on high to be able to step forth, and which changed his life completely. But then he began to realize, if I'm going to have control of my life, then my body's got to be a slave to the Almighty God. And that's why he wrote this. He said, I have to discipline myself. We have to discipline ourselves in anything that we do in order we're going to do it well. Athletes have to discipline their self in their training and exercises to do well, or they're not, will not be able to maintain and carry out their responsibilities. Neither will Christians if we do not exercise the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So the Apostle Paul compared himself to the runners, our competitors in the games. And the Corinthians knew this very well, because they saw it and they experienced all of the athletes and those who trained very hard to compete. So, however, in the Christian race, all may run so to attain. And that includes all of us. And there's a greatest encouragement to preserve or persevere, with all of our strength in this course of life. Now, those who ran these games had to keep a lean diet, right? And we need to keep a lean spiritual diet in our exercises against the things of this world in order to maintain the fruit of the Spirit as well. So there is the greatest encouragement to persevere with all our strength in this course. Now, they utilize themselves to hardships. And sometimes that's hard to do. They practice the exercises. And those who pursue the interests of their souls, our souls, must fight hard with fleshly lust. The body must not be suffered to rule. We must not allow the body to rule. And that's what Paul is saying right here. So those who run must suffer the rule. So Paul presses this advice really to the Corinthians, and it's for us as well today. He sets forth himself and them the danger of yielding to fleshly lust, desires, pampering the body in its lust and its appetites. And you know how the body works in that area. So, with holy fear, and I'm saying this, with holy fear and holy reverence to God, Paul needed to keep himself faithful. And how much more is it needful for us today in our lives, for our conditioning in our spiritual life? So a lot of people, and I say this because I've been around a lot of people all my life, and I've heard people talk about their bodies and exercises and discipline and all of those things. And I've heard people say this too. But a lot of people do not like to talk about the body since they struggle with it. How well they look, or how disciplined, or how fit am I, and so forth. I've heard a lot of people talk about that. Well, to help us in those areas, I believe we go to the Lord. And he's the one that has all answers, right? He's the one that has all answers. I know I don't have them all. And I go to him daily, especially when I come up against something or think about something and I don't know how I should respond or act or make a decision upon, I go to him in prayer. So prayer is very important for self-control when it comes to our bodies, whether it's the amount of food we consume or if we are struggling with other appetites of the flesh or the body. Now, if any of you or any of us are struggling with this, we need to spend more time in prayer and seek God's help. And maybe there's a close friend or a godly person that you know that you can confide in and say, hey, I need help in this area. Will you pray with me? And I'm sure that will happen. Now, the second one is our minds. Not only our bodies is one of the areas that we need discipline in, but Paul talks about the minds. He talks about the body, and then he talks about the minds. And I have always said the battle is in and with the mind. If Satan can plant something in our minds and we dwell on it so long, guess where it's going to end up? Right here in the heart. And that's how we end up carrying it out or acting it out. And whether it's good or bad, we want to make sure that we think about it and pray about it, and God's in control of it. So, the key is to master the mind by 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it says, well, we're submitting our thoughts to Christ, and that's the key right there. The key is to master the mind by submitting our thoughts to Christ. And the verse for that is 2 Corinthians 10:5, which says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. I like that verse. Now, you might want to mark it down or make a note on in your margin about this verse, because it helps us to realize, okay, our mind can be very foldable. You know, things that end up in our mind, you know, whether it's good or bad, it needs to be under control of the Spirit of God. And if it's good, God's going to receive the blessing. If it's not, then we need to get it right with God. So, Jesus needs to be the Lord of our minds. Because Paul says we can have the mind of Christ. Now you think about that. You say, how can we have the mind of Christ when he's perfect in all ways? Well, we are to work in that area to be perfect in the actions that Jesus took in his obedience. See, it all comes down to how well we're going to follow through with obedience to follow the likeness of Christ in our lives. So we need to fill our minds with good things. And whatever we put in our minds eventually does venture out, doesn't it? It comes out. It does. Okay, the third area is our tongues. And James has a lot to talk about that, doesn't he? The book of James. How many of you like the book of James? He really steps on your toes, doesn't he? Especially when he gets to the tongue. So in James chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, this can be one of the most difficult for people to deal with. The tongue, right? It's a vicious, ruthless part of the body. Now let's look in James chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. And we are told by James, "For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race." That's what James says. Now, on the human side, he is saying, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless, evil, and full of deadly poison. Boy, that's some hard, profound words, isn't it? But how true it is in our world today. How many lives have been destroyed or changed in a painful way because of something another person said because they could not control their tongue? James puts it very, very plain there. Also, James, going back to chapter 1 of James, he says in James 1:26, "If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless." In the KJV, it would say vain. So, James is saying the unbridled tongue can do a lot of damage in our lives. So, it's so important to be have the control of the Holy Spirit in our lives, working in all of these areas, all of these nine fruit of the Spirit, and especially, and I believe that's why Paul put self-control at the end, so that we could be able to see ourselves and see the perspective of starting with love, joy, peace, faithfulness, gentleness, and on down to self-control. Now, the fourth, our spiritual growth. In looking at all these areas, the body, the mind, and the tongue, how can we grow spiritually? Utilizing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives in all the areas. You know, I'm going to throw out a challenge to you. At least read Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, at least once a week. Why? Because it's a good reminder of where those areas that we need to work on the most. And if it falls on 9, then read it 2 or 3 times a week. I love reading these fruit of the Spirit because they were put there for us as Christians to be able to walk in the Spirit and talk in the Spirit the things of God. Okay, in our spiritual growth, we are not to grow spiritually without self-discipline. Let me say that again. We will not grow spiritually without self-discipline. So, there are a lot of distractions and there's a lot of temptations in this world. And that's what we have to guard against. So it takes a real commitment to Jesus to be able to grow spiritually. So we must understand how important it is for us to set aside time that we need. And last week I talked about this, where that we need to have a goal in our life to guide us. We need to pray. We need to study. We need to read. We need to meditate. We need to spend time in fellowship with one another, encouraging one another all the more as we would ourselves. See, Jesus needs to be the center and not the second thought in our areas of our life. And in conclusion this morning, the fruit of the Spirit is something that God wants you to enjoy. How many of you enjoy eating fruit? And there's more than 9 different kinds, aren't they? There's all different varieties of fruits out there. And most of them are all good for you. They're nutrition and they help ward off different bad things in our bodies. So is the fruit of the Spirit in our life. So, the fruit is good. It tastes good, doesn't it? And it is good for you. So is the fruit of the Spirit. And all of them are up there. All 9 fruit of the Spirit are up there. If you like bananas and peaches and limes and oranges and all of those things, pineapple, they're all up there for us to enjoy. And you, I can see you dribbling on the edge of your mouth, thinking about all this good fruit. Well, this is the same kind of fruit Paul is talking about here spiritually that will help us. See, God wants us to dive into the fruit bowl and enjoy the blessings He has in store for you. There's a real blessing there. So self-control is an awesome fruit with awesome effects on the life of those who embrace it. And when we embrace it, we will enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. Let us pray. Father God, we come to the close of this message this morning. Help us to remember the things that we've learned over the last few weeks when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. And today, as we close with the self-control, Lord, you empower us to live a godly life. And you empower us through your word, through your Spirit, through the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I pray this morning as we prepare ourselves to take communion together, Lord, we thank you that Christ lived that life, the fruitful life. And he was that perfect example. And Lord, we can mimic that. We can also imitate that lifestyle. And Lord, help us to pray more and seek you in all these areas of our life when it pertains to the fruit of the Spirit. Because, Lord, this world, you know, there's a lot of temptation. There's a lot of things that's thrown at us on a daily basis. We have to be confronted with it, have to make decisions. Some of them are good and some of them are not. Help us be able to distinguish between the good and the bad. And the spiritual fruit that you have given us here in Galatians are all good. They're for our benefit spiritually and wholesomely, that we might grow in you and be like Christ. Lord, thank you for this time together this morning, and as we get ready to prepare our hearts, Lord, for the bread and the cup, may we start now examining our lives and see how we measure up. And if we don't, through this week, our devotions, and now, Lord, help us to make things right with you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.